Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Radio Program goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. How do you do? Hello to you, my friends. Back in the saddle, once again, the guy in charge of this radio program and every radio program you've ever loved. He is the Draymond Green of radio. The great Alonzo is back with us today. That took longer than it took. It shouldn't have taken that long. It was too long to be funny, unfortunately. How you doing, Zo? You making it? You're an hour in? Three to go? Go home, have a sandwich, go to sleep.
That's the plan. Yeah, I'm raring to go for the next 3 hours. Cannot wait.
We have got a lot of stuff to get to. Still got NBA playoff and play-in talk to get to as the Warriors and the Lakers went at it last night. We're going to talk about that here in just moments from now because the Dubs were cooking last night. A shooting exhibition from Steph and the boys. We're going to talk about that. We got to get a little bit into the world of Major League Baseball because yesterday we did a segment where I talked about the fact that elbow injuries are a plague, a pox upon the house of Major League Baseball right now. Three more pitchers went down to elbow injuries of some type yesterday. It is officially a problem. Well, one of the guys that is on that list, Shane Bieber, shut down with elbow surgery and probably effectively knocking his team out of any opportunity to compete for a division title this year, which I think they would have. He has spoken out about it. And he says, not directly quoting, but paraphrasing, Rob Brown's kind of wrong, but kind of not. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. Speaking of baseball, the Clemson-South Carolina game that got delayed due to rain will not be made up. That announcement came yesterday from the athletic offices of both schools. The baseball game that was postponed due to rain back on March 1st will not be made up. A mutual date was unattainable based on remaining competition and academic schedules. That's what the press release from the University of South Carolina said. If you had tickets to that game, the ticket exchange will be honored for a future Carolina baseball game. You can go to their website to find more about that. Same for Clemson, I assume. Carolina did play North Carolina last night at the home of the Charlotte Knights, Truist Field, up in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll talk about that game as well as Clemson and the stand that they've been going through lately coming up later on in the show. All of that, plus more draft talk, plus some Masters talk, plus some wrestling talk. Whoa! All coming up on the show over the next 3 hours of sports talk, entertainment excellence. But my friends, my family, my colleagues, my coworkers, my comrades in arms, it is just after 7 o'clock in the morning, which means you have just under an hour until you get clocked in at your office job. And I know how office jobs go. As awesome as this one is, I used to be a suit and tie guy. I used to be a Monday through Friday 8-to-5-er. I used to be a guy who took full advantage of the breaks that my life offered to me. And when I say breaks, I mean literally, I don't want to work anymore. I'm taking a break kind of breaks. You're going to do the same. And when you do, if you're listening to this show, there's a very good chance you are going to want to talk sports with your coworkers, with your family, with your friends, whoever you spend your lunch break with. And you're going to need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know for today, Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Let us dive right in with item number one. The NCAA's all-time winningest basketball coach is calling it a career. Tara Vanderveer has been the head coach at Stanford for 38 seasons. She has been in the game for 45 years. The 70-year-old, one of the most illustrious coaches in the sport's history. Three national championships in 90, 92, and 2021 in her 38 seasons. She guided the Cardinal to 14 Final Four. She is a Naismith and Women's Basketball Hall of Famer. She is stepping away from the game. Tara Vanderveer yesterday saying, quote, basketball is the greatest group project there is, and I am so incredibly thankful for every person who has supported me and our teams throughout my coaching career. I've been spoiled to coach the best and brightest at one of the world's foremost institutions for nearly four decades. Coupled with my time at Ohio State and Idaho, and as the head coach of the United States national team, it has been an unforgettable ride. The joy for me was in the journey of each season, seeing a group of young women work hard for each other and form an unbreakable bond. Winning was a byproduct. I've loved the game of basketball since I was a little girl, and it has given me so much throughout my life. I hope I've been able to give at least a little bit back. Vanderveer finishes with an all-time record of 1,216-271 and 81.8% winning percentage. She will continue to work with Stanford and the athletic department in an advisory capacity, according to the school. Stanford Athletics Director Bernard Muir said in a statement, quote, Tara's name is synonymous with the sport, and women's basketball would not be what it is today without her pioneering work. She has been devoted to this campus for 40 years and a servant to all the student athletes who have come through her program. Tara built one of the sport's iconic programs almost immediately upon her arrival at Stanford and then maintained that standard for nearly four decades. Vanderveer passed retired Duke and Army coach Mike Krzyzewski's NCAA record of 1,202 wins back on January 21st, earning her 1,203rd career victory with a 65-56 win at home against Oregon State. Her final win came in the second round of the NCAA tournament at Maples Pavilion as her Cardinal knocked off Iowa State. Two-seed Stanford would go on to lose in the Portland 4 region semifinal to eventual Final Four team NC State. Her 14 Final Four appearances are the third most behind only Gino Auriemma, who has 23, and Pat Summitt, who has 18. She is one of five coaches with at least three national titles alongside Gino Auriemma, Pat Summitt, Baylor and LSU's Kim Mulkey, and South Carolina's Dawn Staley. Vanderveer stepped away from Stanford during the 95-96 season in preparation for the 96 Olympic Games, where she serves as the head coach of the U.S. national team. The team had an undefeated run in Atlanta, the first of an active streak of seven gold medals and counting. It was considered a massive launching off point for the establishment of the WNBA back in 1997. Vanderveer has an incredible career, and she will be missed on the landscape of women's college basketball. But at 70 years old, she has absolutely earned the right to step away on her terms and her conditions, and that is exactly what she is doing. Now, I will say this. Gino Auriemma is coming back next year. Gino Auriemma only trails Tara Vanderveer by three wins, meaning he will get it within four games of the start of next year. But that says more about Gino Auriemma than it does about Tara Vanderveer. She is an absolute legend, an absolute icon, and she will absolutely be missed. Let's go to item number two. As I have said repeatedly throughout the show, the NBA's play-in and playoff season just about a week away. Most NBA teams have three or four games remaining in the regular season, and then our bracket will be finalized, including, obviously, the play-in tournament between the 7 and 10 teams and the 8 and the 9 teams. Teams are vying for and still have the opportunity to earn a better seeding or just a way into the playoffs instead of the play-in over those last few games. But there's a lot going on right now within the NBA. Let's start with this one. Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves has been cleared to return from his injury. The Big Cat has been missing for a while. The Timberwolves still have the number one seed in the West. Now, they are tied with Denver for that number one seed. They have indeed clinched themselves a spot in the playoffs by having the number one seed with just a few games remaining. It has been a threat to give that back, but even without Big Cat, the Timberwolves have been good. We kept waiting. We're going to be talking to Hayton Ask Mario later in the show. Mario and I agreed a number of weeks ago when Big Cat went down to an injury. We both thought the Timberwolves were going to fall off. Spoiler alert, they did not. Still tied with Denver of all teams for the number one seed. Both of those teams one game ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder as it stands right now. And now they're going to get the Big Cat back. Now they're going to get the Big Cat back at a point where Anthony Edwards is out here dropping 55 in five games. 50 points in a game for Anthony Edwards, the first ever player with that stat line in Minnesota. And now they get Cat back. Maybe we were wrong about this team. Maybe Minnesota is something. We're going to find out. That's not the only news. Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with a non-contact injury last night. The two-time MVP exited the Bucks 104-91 win over Beantown last night in the third quarter because of an injury to his left calf. After Derek White made a three, Antetokounmpo was heading back up the court, did not make it to half court before he crumpled to the ground holding the back of his left leg. He tried to stretch it out, thought it might be a cramp. Turns out it was not. He had to be helped by teammates off the court and into the locker room. Antetokounmpo was officially ruled out in the fourth quarter due to what the team called a left soleus strain, the soleus, a muscle in the back part of the calf. Doc Rivers said after the game that Antetokounmpo was undergoing an MRI exam on his calf and also would have his Achilles tendon tested as well. If he is going to miss time, that is bad news for a Bucks team that is currently hanging on to the two seed. One of only a couple of teams that can be in the mix for that two seed. They do currently have it, but they are only one game up on the New York Knicks right now. They got to play the Orlando Magic twice. They're only two games up on the Magic. The Magic could theoretically get as high as the two seed. Milwaukee could fall anywhere from the two seed as low as the play-in tournament, as they are currently 3.5 games up on the 76ers. If they lose out and Philly wins out, they could flip all the way down. I don't think that's going to be the case. But a combination of Giannis Antetokounmpo going down and also they hired Doc Rivers, to me, makes it a legitimate threat. We'll talk more about that. That is a big deal in the NBA. Let's talk about a couple of results from last night that matter. 134-120 winners, the Golden State Warriors over the LA Lakers, and they did it by looking like the Warriors of old. The Dubs shot 63.5% from behind the arc. 26 three-pointers, found the target out of 41 attempts last night for the Warriors. They also shot almost 60% from the floor, going 47 of 80 on the night, despite 33 points from LeBron James, 22 from Austin Reeves, and 20 from Rui Hachimura. The Lakers just, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're 12 of 35, but they're knocking down 26 threes? What are you going to do when even Draymond freaking Green is going 5 of 7 from behind the arc? The answer, what you're going to do is lose. What you're going to do is get dropped. Now, we're going to talk more about this in a minute, because leadership in sports is obviously a big deal. And it came from an unexpected place a couple of days ago. And I think that the leadership shown by one particular dub, not named Steph Curry, might have sparked a little something in this basketball team. The Warriors now one step closer to passing the Lakers in the NBA standings. They are currently out in the West, still in the 10 spot. But they are now only a half game back of the Lakers, who are missing Anthony Davis due to an eye injury. LeBron James earned 33 while playing with the flu last night. They could get caught. They could get passed. They could end up taking on Sacramento instead of Phoenix. Hell, they could end up, as they are only one game back of Sacramento, if the Splash Bros, as a group, now including and featuring Draymond Green, if the Splash Bros stay this hot, they could end up jumping as high as the 7th seed and hosting a play-in game. And then I got to tell you, Golden State, I think, can beat Minnesota, the 1 seed. That might be a first-round upset. We'll talk more about that. Also, last night in the association, 130-104 winners, Mavs over the Hornets. Sixers get Joel Embiid back right. 37 points, 11 boards, 8 assists, and a 120-102 win over the Pistons. The Heat 117-111 over the Hawks. The Bucks 104-91, as we mentioned, over the Celtics. The Knicks get a much-needed win, 128-117 over the Bulls. And the Magic, a team that I gloated about yesterday, they fall to the Houston Rockets, 106-118. All those games having playoff implications. Let's get to item number 3. There have been 9 She Believe Cups that have taken place so far. Last night, the United States of America women's national team won number 7 as they defeated Canada 5-4 in a penalty shootout to lift the cup once again. Two names that jumped off the page: Sophia Smith, a 23-year-old forward playing out of her position. She is a traditional 9, has been asked to play the right wing. She scored twice last night. An equalizer from outside the box 5 minutes after halftime. The go-ahead goal 18 minutes later. Unfortunately, a penalty surrendered by the Americans led Canada back to even and took it to PKs. And that is where you ended up having a gut-it-out moment from goalkeeper Alyssa Nair. Alyssa Nair saved 3 of 5 penalty kicks, and when the Americans needed a spark, the goalkeeper buried one of her own last night. Nair said of her focus in the shootouts, quote, "I think it's just something that we put the time into in training. It's just part of the game. Even on the men's or women's side, the champion at a World Cup or different tournament has statistically some very high number, has had to go through at least one shootout within the tournament. So it's something that we just put a lot of preparation into. The more you do it, the more confident you are. I think we've got 23 players that can step up and be comfortable taking a shot at any moment." So what's next? After winning another She Believes Cup for the Americans, well, the long-awaited arrival of head coach Emma Hayes at the end of May. Hayes was announced as the team's next coach back in November, but elected to stay with Chelsea throughout the European season to finish her full decade of service with the club. In the interim, the Americans have had Kilgore working with Hayes to implement her plans ahead of her arrival, so there shouldn't be too much of a learning curve when Emma Hayes shows up. That process has been largely successful despite a group stage loss to Mexico at the Gold Cup. Since then, the U.S. has won or advanced in five straight games, picking up a pair of trophies in just over a month as we all look forward to and prepare for the Summer Olympic Games coming up in just a couple of months live from Paris, France. That's your Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Top three sports stories you need to know for today, April 10, 2024. We got to take a break. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, five questions that we are going to ask, five questions that I hope we will have answered as we are now less than 2 days away from the very first tee time at the Masters at Augusta, a tradition unlike any other. We'll discuss some golf when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. It is Rob and Lonzo with you. The Masters tees off tomorrow. Our first round of tee times are set. We will have our first matchups going out at 10:18 when Hideki Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, and Justin Thomas tee. 12 minutes after then, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, Nick Dunlap, Scottie Scheffler, Roy McIlroy, and Xander Schauffele at 10:42. At 10:54, Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, and Cam Smith. 1:24 in the afternoon is when most eyes will be on the TV as Eldrick Tiger Woods tees off alongside the Aussie, Jason Day, and Max Homa. Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, Tom Kim at 1:36. 1:48, Jordan Spieth, Ludvig Åberg, and Sahith Theegala. And Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and Tommy Fleetwood take off at 2 p.m. I'll tell you what I do like about this. As much as I love gimmicks in sports, and you guys, if you followed this show for more than 18 minutes, know that I love gimmicks in sports. They are fun, all right? Sports should be fun. That's kind of the point. As much as I love gimmicks in sports, this is an event, and Lonzo brought this up earlier in the day, or earlier in the week. It got brought up yesterday by Nick Costos yesterday when I was filling in on the BetQL Network as well. The Masters is the one... I'm trying to think if there's any other. I don't think there is. The Masters is, I think, the one sporting event where I fully acknowledge I turn into a snob. I don't do it about the World Series, even though I'm a baseball nerd, according to you guys. Even though I'm a baseball, I don't get snobby about the World Series or about baseball. I certainly don't get snobby about football, basketball. I acknowledge that I can be a little snobby about soccer, but I think that is largely because you guys don't attack golf the way you attack soccer. Soccer is constantly attacked.
The word acknowledge is dead. You need to find a different word.
I still acknowledge our tribal chief, all right? We are going to talk wrestling later on. I don't even get snobby about wrestling. I get snobby. I don't even, for the record, I don't even get snobby about golf, except the Masters. There is an aura, there is an atmosphere, there is an environment around this golf tournament that just does not exist anywhere else. There is something about this tournament, and I think it has a little bit to do with the grounds it's played on, the course it's played on, arguably, to me not arguably, but to y'all maybe, arguably the most beautiful course on planet Earth, one of the most challenging courses on planet Earth. I think that a sense of the snobbiness comes from the fact that the players, by and large, have a view of this tournament unlike any other. I think that the players put a weight on this tournament that they don't put on the U.S. Open, that they don't put on the Open Championship, that they don't put on the TPC. And I think all of those things combined create this snobbishness, if that's a word, this elitism about this tournament that I acknowledge and do not apologize for. Yesterday, Costos asked me how much he would have to pay me to get me to be get-in-the-hole guy at the Masters. And I acknowledge, as I always do, that the Million Dollar Man was right and everybody's got a price. But I think there would have to be a lot of zeros to do it. I think there...
Do it. Yell, get in the hole. Come on, do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Do
I'm
it.
Certainly not going to do it while you play the most prestigious music in all of sports.
Do it. Get in the hole,
most
Rob.
Elite music.
Get in the hole, Rob. Come on, do it.
In all of sports. I would never disrespect this tournament like that. The amount you'd have to pay, again, there is a number. I don't know what it is. There is a number. But you're not about to stroke the check, so I'm not going to do it over the most elite music in sports. And for those of you on the stream, he's playing the Masters theme. It's incredible.
So 10,000?
No.
You wouldn't do it for 10,000?
No, wow. I would not. And I'll give you one more reason. Because I...
50,000.
Unlike some people, have respect for the game, for the beautiful game.
Some people, are you implying me?
You want me to all get in the hole? Yes.
I wasn't the one who asked you to do it.
You just told me you were going to pay me to do it.
No, you said Nick Costas asked you, and I'm just trying.
I was offended by the question.
Okay.
I was offended by the question. I love this tournament. Sorry. I love this tournament. There is nothing more prestigious and nothing more beautiful in all of sports than the Sunday afternoon round at Augusta National Golf Course and the Masters. Hello, friends. Rob Brown here to talk to you about one of sports' finest events, to talk to you about the Masters Golf Tournament. If you don't get it, if you don't understand it, and if you don't watch it, you're wrong. And you're missing out on one of the finest fan experiences in the game today. And when I say the game, I'm not just talking golf. I'm talking sports as a whole. I love this tournament so much. All right, so I've given you the marquee matchups for round one on Thursday. I do have some... Wait, sorry. I got a clip for this. Yesterday, I got the opportunity to interview a young man who goes by the name Jason Sobel. If you're a golf fan, you know Jason Sobel. He has covered the PGA Tour for SiriusXM, for the PGA Network. He's going to be doing work with us on BetQL. He will also fingers crossed, be joining the show. Probably not this week. We will probably do a Masters recap with Jason next week because he is currently on the hallowed grounds of Augusta National covering this event live and in person. And I have a sneaky suspicion, though I could be wrong, he's going to be busy the next couple of days. So, Jason Sobel told me yesterday that a discussion going on behind the scenes right now is about the weather. If you look outside your window right now, if you are in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina, you will notice that the weather is, and this is the scientific term, outside right now. If Lonzo wasn't already going home to take a nap to feel better, he might do it anyway because of the weather. It's perfect nap weather. So, the discussion ongoing right now around Augusta is, how do we handle this? Because tomorrow, there is going to be rain. Now, the forecast right now is for scattered thunderstorms. The problem is, those scattered thunderstorms appear to be set up to be very heavy thunderstorms. Very severe thunderstorms. It is not about being able to play around the rain. It is that when the rain is coming, it is going to dump buckets on the course. Sobel told me behind the scenes right now, though the Masters is not going to say it yet because, well, they don't want to. And if you play golf, you know you don't say the R word when you've got 18 lined up on a beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Wow. So you're afraid if you say rain, rain will come?
Shush, man.
That's just dumb.
Shush.
Now, if you're doing a dance while you say rain, that's different. If you ain't dancing, you can say rain.
Don't say the R word.
Rob, what's it doing outside right now?
Precipitation.
That's true. There is precipitation going on, also known as rain.
Don't say the R word. Don't do it.
Don't want to rain on your parade or your golf tournament. So if it rains, it just make it go an extra day. Not that big of a deal.
Nobody wants Championship Monday.
Why not? It's not going to affect you.
It's just not the same, man.
Okay. All right.
It's just not the same.
I disagree. It's just another day.
Lonzo, how much of the Masters are you going to watch? Legitimately and honestly, how much of the Masters are you going to
watch? If I'm flipping through and it's on, I might watch a little bit, especially if someone like Fleetwood is on.
If Mick Fleetwood shows up, yeah. I'm watching every damn second.
Yeah, because he did. And that means it's a zombie tournament. If Fleetwood's on or any of the other mulleted type guys, people with the long hair, Maria Olafabo is on. Maybe I'll check it out.
Nailed it.
But you know, all the people with the short cropped hair, not interested.
I will not turn the Masters off. I will be tomorrow. First off, at noon today, I will have the TV on for the par 3 competition. Tomorrow, when we get the first golfers out around 8 a.m., we will have, well, I don't know if I can get the streaming network it's going to be on this TV, but I will HDMI from this laptop to that computer so we can watch every stroke that happens during the 4 hours that we're in here.
I want to see you do that.
Wait for it.
It's underneath.
Yeah.
That's how
I found
it's hooked
it.
Up.
We're good.
I mean,
I found it. Got an extra cord at the house.
You don't see the wires like coming. Okay.
I'm just making sure. All right. If for no other reason, then if not, then my day after we get off the air today is dedicated to figure out what I need to do to make sure we got the TV on tomorrow morning when the first group goes out. If the first group goes out.
There's an engineer like in the other room right now. I mean,
he may be called into service again later. We'll find out. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. So, here's a couple of things that I am interested in when it comes.
Really quick, is it raining there now like it is here?
I do not know. Let's see. Whether Augusta National.
Because that's going to affect the greens and everything else, right?
So it is. And I asked Jason Sobel about that yesterday. And there's a couple of things that go on. First off, the Masters does have an underground green drying system. Now, obviously, it's not instantaneous. And the advantage, it depends on who's putting. Slower greens help out some guys and it hurts others. So depending on who you ask, it's going to either help or hurt. I will say, Sobel said that right now, the greens are lightning fast. And they usually are. I've heard guys describe putting on the greens at Augusta National as putting on concrete. It's like putting on asphalt. You touch the ball and it's gone. Having that intimate finesse touch is mucho importante at this course. If it rains, even though they have the ground drying system in place, it's still going to impact. It's still going to slow down the greens. Who's that help? I don't know. Depends on golfer to golfer. Certainly going to help up the guys that do not have strokes gained on the green as opposed to strokes gained between the tee box and the short iron, the wedge game. By the way, it is not currently raining. There are scattered showers expected into the early morning. Looks like there is a 90% chance of rain at 5 a.m. tomorrow. That rain is expected to be 90% all the way up, drop off to around 80% at tee time around 8 a.m. It should stop raining around 11 a.m., which, again, would still be okay because they can push the tee times back 3 hours. And the worst case scenario in that spot is that the last groups of guys to go out in the afternoons may not finish their Thursday round. They may have to come out, finish their Thursday round first thing Friday, then head to the clubhouse, grab a Gatorade, a granola bar, and a turn dog, which is the best dog, and then go back out and run back another 18 in the evening.
What comes on a turn dog?
Whatever you want. It's a hot dog. It's just at the turn, which if you've never had a hot dog after the front nine, it is the gas for the engine of the back nine. Turn dog is best dog. Turn dog's the only dog that rivals a stadium hot dog.
That's really surprising because hot dogs like barbecue are for poor people, so you would think that they would not have such a thing on a prestigious golf course.
Doesn't that maybe tell you that you're just wrong about hot dogs?
Oh, no, I'm not wrong. I'm absolutely
The fact that someone, an elitist, a one percenter, a top tier guy like me is telling you that the premier hot dog in America is while I'm out there playing golf.
I don't normally do this, but I don't believe they do it at the Masters.
No, it's a pimento cheese sandwich.
Thank you. Which is definitely much more fancy in 1% than a hot dog.
Let's see what's on the board here. Egg salad, can't beat it. Pimento cheese sandwich, can't go wrong with that. Barbecue sandwich is on there. A Masters club, a chicken sandwich on brioche, a classic chicken sandwich, or a ham and cheese on rye. Most expensive sandwich on the golf course, $3. I got to tell you right now, I get on the course at Augusta, my dude, I'm coming back fatter than I went.
Are you complaining that there's no turn dogs?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, again, the turn dog is for the player, not the fan.
Are the crusts trimmed off of those sandwiches?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You are, I'm sorry to say, you're a child if you trim the crust off your sandwich.
I thought that was more fancy and more for rich people.
No.
So you're telling me that TV and movies lied.
If you are going with like finger food snacking sandwiches, but that's more about proportion than anything. If you are a grown ass adult who makes a PB&J and then cuts the crust off, you're a child. You're a child.
Judgmental much?
Yes. the exact same as people who eat ketchup on well-done steaks. You're a child. You don't appreciate food yet.
That's just ridiculous.
You haven't grown into being an adult.
That the heel is the best part of the bread.
Okay, that's just wrong, too. That's just flat out wrong. What are you talking about? What does that take? I know you're right. I'm gonna chalk this up to like you're having a fever dream or something right now.
Yeah, you would probably not be in my fever dream. I'm guessing there. Yeah, possibly.
So I'm gonna go. There should be a turn dog on there, but the turn dog's for the players, right? It's for the players. By the way, $5 brewskis at the Masters is untouchable.
Is that a good price? I don't know.
Yeah, dude, you been to an NFL game lately?
I don't drink, so I don't know.
Beers at a Panther game are like $15 for a tall boy. They're $3 or $5 at the Masters.
Tall boy, is that them long necks?
Also, barbecue's not for poor people. It's for people who know how to cook.
Okay, all right. Leftover meat. I know. Let's put some sauce on it. Maybe we can sell this too.
What the hell are you? If you're cooking leftover meat, yeah, you're doing it wrong.
That's where barbecue
Go to the
comes
butcher,
from.
Get your best meat, throw it on the smoker, let it sit for a couple of hours, and let's roll. Texter said, Uncrustables all day, baby. No, grow up. Have a sandwich. All right? It's one of my few heel food takes.
Eat the heel. It's the best part of the bread.
It's so not, dude. The heel is the part I give to my dog as a treat because I'm not eating it.
Speaking of growing up, grow up, dude.
No one eats the butt of the bread.
Why would you not? Unless, as a kid, it's a different color, so I'm not going
to
eat it.
It's nothing to do with color.
Needs to grow. I mean, it tastes just as good as any other part of the bread.
No, it doesn't.
It absolutely does.
It's always thinner and flat and takes away from the bread part of the bread.
So weird.
Who eats the...
Everyone does.
And also, barbecue's delicious. I had stuff to talk about with the Masters, but this was, and I am not even being sarcastic, a much more important conversation on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So yesterday we were talking about the preliminary audience numbers from the women's national championship game. Now we have the official numbers on both sides. And it was not even close. South Carolina's women's NCAA tournament win over Iowa had roughly 4 million average viewers more than the men's tournament. 4 million. There used to be women's games. You couldn't get 4 million people to watch. Now they outdrew the men's side by 4 million.
I am very surprised by that because usually when a championship team is taking on a consolation round team, you don't get that many people watching, but they must have watched to see the Mighty Gamecocks win the championship. Even though they were going against a consolation round team, it's still.
Yeah, it was definitely Definitely not them paying attention to the most visible player in college basketball this year.
Who?
The Caitlin Clark.
Oh, the one who won the consolation Caitlin round. Clark. That one. You mean?
I mean the best women's player in the game, Caitlin Clark.
You mean yes, the one who lost and couldn't beat a South Carolina team that didn't technically mm-hmm. have a star on it.
Mm-hmm. By herself, because it was Caitlin versus USC. Definitely not anybody else on the field.
Well, according to the media, that's what it was. And you helped with that. So the hype didn't help her beat the best team in college basketball, though.
I never said they weren't the best team in college basketball.
Go Gamecocks.
They absolutely were.
So disappointed I couldn't be here Monday in full health so I could talk about this thoroughly. And I still can't do it entirely because I'll have a coughing fit soon. But, yeah, that also Rans, I mean, people who are pumped up to be made into something, then they can't win against the mighty Gamecocks.
The Huskies win on Monday night, drew just over 14.8 million viewers on TBS compared to the 18.8 million who tuned in to watch South Carolina cap their undefeated season with a win over the Hawkeyes on Sunday afternoon. Hardly a surprise for a couple of reasons. First off, South Carolina's win, the most watched basketball game in 5 years at any level, was also available via broadcast television on Sunday afternoon, while Monday's night game was on cable. A season ago, UConn's win over San Diego State on CBS also drew fewer than 15 million viewers. It was the least watched men's game ever at 14.69, least watched men's title game ever at 14.69 million viewers. Ratings for the women's NCAA tournament title game have obviously been ticking up year by year. The men's ratings have been going down since the cancellation of the 2020 NCAA tournament due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Four of the five least watched title games have come since that cancellation. Now, the men's Final Four did have higher average ratings than the women's Final Four. An average audience of 10.8 million watched South Carolina beat NC State and Iowa State sneak past UConn on Friday night. On Saturday night, 12.8 million people watched Purdue beat NC State and UConn take down Alabama to get to the title game. That figure of nearly 13 million was up slightly from the 2023 men's Final Four, but I would also make the argument in that case that historically, Friday nights are not great television time. You will notice that there are very few Friday night shows. It used to be during the TGIF era that Friday night was absolutely a primetime spot. It's just not anymore. So I'm not entirely shocked that Saturday numbers did better than Saturday numbers. I am not shocked that Sunday afternoon numbers did well. That's actually a pretty good TV time. I would also bring up the fact, and I talked about this yesterday with Nick Costos, that game not tipping off until 9:20 p.m. on a Monday night is death to the Atlantic region.
Yeah, how many people were watching the Raw after WrestleMania intending to go back, I mean, to switch over and watch the college basketball game but never did? Because it took so long for the tip-off and everything, and Raw after WrestleMania was really good.
Yeah, I have no doubt there is some bleed-over. I have no doubt there is some bleed-over. I don't think it's wildly dramatic. I don't think it's enough. Let's put it this way. I don't think it plus a 9:20 tip is 4 million people. I don't think it's 4 million people. I'm sure, you know, I bet you could talk me into it being maybe a milli, maybe two, between a 9:20 tip, New York time, Miami time, Tampa time. I'm sure that has to, and I'm sure there is some bleed over from Raw, but I think the other aspect of it is it was just late, A, and B, I'm sorry to say, UConn didn't get interesting to me until the tournament, and Purdue might be the most boring national championship contender in recent memory. I like Zach Edey, got the charisma of a wet blanket, and I think that hurt it as well. I also think the popularity of Caitlin Clark, the possibility of a Dawn Staley dynasty being born, I think that had a lot to do with it as well. We, my dudes, my dudettes, have to run to a break. We will come back here in just mere moments with plenty more to get to and talk about. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network talking NBA with us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. The only guy I'm more excited to hear than Mario is Lonzo.
You just want to see if I die or not while I'm doing this. It took another shootout. I appreciate your belief. It took another shootout victory, but the United States women's national team snagged their seventh She Believes Cup title with a 5-4 PK victory over Canada yesterday. 23-year-old Sophia Smith scored twice in the effort, and goalkeeper Alyssa Nayer saved 3 of 5 penalty kicks and scored another to lock up the victory. PGA Tour reporter Jason Sobel told our own Rob Brown yesterday that weather concerns at Augusta National Golf Course could cause a postponement or delay of the first round of the Masters golf tournament. No plans for a delay have yet been announced, but heavy rains throughout the day Thursday could cause the issue. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a lot of fun. Wire to Wire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.